kidding. So you maybe were wondering what the heck I was talking about with this car repair thing. How did I get that? But maybe I should back up a little. Because why would someone come? Anyways. Let's just read this little bit from Ephesians. Ephesians 10. He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. So one of those words was apostles. And one of those words, apostles, means someone, part of the meaning is someone who's sent. So, in order for someone to do what they're going to do tonight, these apostles who have come here, they had to be sent. So no one here could have done it. It had to be someone who was sent from afar to us. And it's here in the Bible. It's something from God. This is something he ordained. He who ascended ordained that these people were sent here tonight to find the tick in our car or to hear God's voice for us tonight. And so I just want to call up whoever is going to come up right now, and they can take the mic from me. All right, Steve. Who's our second favorite youth leader tonight here? Jordan Whitley. Come on up. He's recognized his calling. He knows it's a little ways down the road, but here, youth leader, can you pray for Mr. Thomas tonight?
Lord Jesus, I just want to thank you for Mr. Thomas. I pray that you'd bless him as he's here, and I pray that you'd let him speak words of truth into us, and I pray that you'd bless us and him. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Bit of help with this. Am I on? Yes. In a few minutes, but I'll get that help in a moment. Now, the title of my talk this evening is, Shall We Carry On Sinning? You're not meant to say that in church. Listen, it says it in the Bible. Okay, and we're just going to read a few verses from Romans chapter 6, which sounds a little bit complicated, but tonight we're going to unwrap it, and I think we're going to see it's not as complicated as it sounds. So, here goes. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we've been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who've been brought from death to life. And offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness, for sin shall not be your master, because you're not under law, but under grace. Now, I want a little bit of help. I need a few volunteers. Anybody want to come? Yeah. Anybody want to come and help me? I need roughly six on each side. Okay, here we go. Yeah, line up. If you've got any friends, get your friends out. Yes, that's right. Okay. All right, you need to huddle together a bit there. I need another three here or so, and another couple here. Well done. Okay. All right. You don't know what you've lined up for, but that'll do. You can stay there. Yeah. I'm glad to see. Okay. Now, can you huddle up a bit too, please? Okay, you could huddle up. No, let's have two rows. Let's have two rows. Okay, huddle up a bit. Okay, all right. You'll see what's going to happen in a moment. Okay, right. Now, I want to try and explain what's going on in these verses and what it means to be in Christ. Because the theme of our weekend, this weekend, is in Christ. What does it mean to be in Christ? And what sort of life do we live in Christ? What's that all about? Well, Paul has been telling the story in this book of Romans. Before we get to this chapter, he's been telling the story of salvation. He basically says, man is stuck in a terrible mess. He's trapped in sin. And because of his sin, he's under the wrath of God, separated from God, and his life's just a terrible mess. Whether Jews or non-Jews, doesn't matter who they are, where they've come from, everybody's in the same dreadful mess. This isn't very cheerful, is it? A mess that we couldn't get out of. A trap that we couldn't get free from. So, God's taken the initiative, and he's come down in Christ, and he himself has set us free from the trap of sin. He's washed us, forgiven us, cleaned up our lives, and he's shown us his... Who's got the radio on? Okay, he's shown us his incredible grace in setting us free. Try something else. Okay, right. Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad we sorted that one out. So he set us free from this incredible mess, all as a gift. And what he's done is he's just given us his forgiveness and his freedom and his washing and his cleansing. He's given us grace, 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 he's given us grace. And Paul says, well, we don't need to worry then, do we? If all of this grace is flowing and every sin that you've ever committed in your short life has been washed away, and for that matter, every sin that you commit in the rest of your long life will be forgiven. Hey, this is a good deal. Who thinks this is a good deal? Yeah. Everything that you have done that needs forgiving is forgiven. Everything that you did today that you're not very happy about, that's forgiven too. And everything that you will ever do in the future, that's also forgiven by God's grace. Hey, this is good news. So Paul says, and it's a genuine question, he says, well, why don't we just carry on sinning then? And we can get forgiven and get forgiven and get forgiven. Now, some Christians also live like that. Why don't we just carry on sinning? We can get forgiven tomorrow. Let's be bad tonight and get forgiven tomorrow. Some Christians live like that. And Paul wants to explain, wants to fix that. Oh, no. Now, hang on. If you see it like that, you've missed the point here. Right? You've missed the point. Now, this is what I want to imagine. And this is what he says in the chapter previously. So I'm going somewhere. Stick with me. Right? He says, in Adam, so these guys, I'm afraid, they're you're the sinners. Okay. You didn't know which one you were volunteering for, did you? You're the sinners, okay? You guys are in Adam. So, in Adam, you're full of sin. See, we think like individuals, right? But Paul didn't. Paul understood, because you were connected to the human race, you catch whatever they've got. So the human race is full of sin, you're full of sin. And you're subject to the wrath of God. Sorry about this, this is bad news, you people in Adam. You're under the wrath of God, and it's hell. At the end, sorry about that, separation from God. Okay, they are the ones in trouble. Okay, because they're in Adam. They're sinners. Okay? Now, here's the good news, guys. You are in Christ. Come out from under the shadow a bit. There's a bit of shadow there. Yeah, sorry, that's right. Okay, you are the guys. These are the saints. They're in Christ. Now, isn't that good? Okay, these are the ones who are forgiven, who are washed, who are clean. Death reigns there, life reigns here. Okay, sin reigns there, righteousness reigns here. Oh yes. Okay, because they're in Christ, and they're also going to be with Christ forever. Because they're in Christ, there's a great future for you. It's a shame about these guys. But don't worry, there is a way across here. You'll find out in a moment. Okay. All right, so these are the good guys. Okay, and they have a great life in God and a great future. Okay. But Paul says, don't you know? Don't you know how you get from there to here? Okay. Now, listen, this is ever so important. I want to make two or three very important points here. Paul says there's some things you need to know. Okay. We're a very feelings generation, really, aren't we? We like to feel good, we like to feel holy, we like to feel a touch from God, we like to... Today I feel really Christian. Yesterday I didn't feel such a good Christian. But today, oh yes, I feel... And we live on feelings, and the trouble with feelings is they go up and down. Depending on what mood you're in, whether the sun was shining when you drew the curtains this morning, or whatever it may be. And our feelings go up and down. Paul says, there's some stuff you need to know. Right? Because being in Christ is not about how you feel. You've all heard of a man called Martin Luther. Martin Luther was a great fighter for Christ. He was a fighter for faith. But what you may not know is he was a depressive.
You've heard the story probably about the day he threw the ink pot at the devil, have you? He got so mad with the devil one day he picked up his ink pot and threw it at him over the room. That was the sort of thing that Martin Luther did. But he was a depressive. He had such fights in the church, and it got him so down as he was trying to fight for truth. And one day he was up, and the next day he was down. And people used to say to him, "So, what's this about?" And when he was asked, he always went back to his baptism. He says, "You know how I know I'm a Christian? I got baptized. I got baptized." Now, this is what Paul says. Okay, he says, "Don't you know," when somebody asks him, "Shall we go on sinning? Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?" Now this is the point. Right, there is a way out of Adam into Christ. Okay? Turn around here, please. Okay, and it goes like this. What's your name? David. Okay, put your hands together like that. Okay, just hold my hand strongly. Okay, it goes like this. "I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." Just stay there, please. This is how you get from there to there. Okay, into Christ. Now, this was ever so important in the early days of the Christians, because there was no such thing as a secret disciple. You see, a Jew could stay a good Jew, and people think still believe in Jesus, until he got baptized. And when he got baptized, he was coming out of one fellowship into another. Okay, so this was the doorway. This was him lining up with Jesus. Okay, and the way you line up with Jesus, yes, you do believe some things in your heart and in your head, but the way you line up with Jesus is here. Now, it's just like the song that we had about bye-bye to self. Okay, David is dying under the water. I always say to people if I do their baptism, I say, "Just remember, I can hold you under. You could die. You can't baptize yourself. Baptism is something that's done to you. And it's that feeling of powerlessness. You're not in control. You are being baptized." Take a deep breath, because we could hold you under. Okay? This is the way into, out of this fellowship, into this fellowship where people are washed, forgiven, free from sin, and righteous. Right? Through the death of Jesus. You die with Jesus. And you get raised up. In Christ. You are now alive in Christ. Okay? That means Christ is in you. He's living in you. But that means you're alive in this fellowship. This is why we're part of a church. There's no such thing as an individual Christian. You can't be a Christian and not be part of a church. I don't care what ideas people have these days. There's lots of people who are disconnecting from church. So I can be a Christian home. No, you can't. Because you're baptized into a fellowship of Jesus' people. You belong together because you're the redeemed people of God. So link arms, please. Okay. You belong together. You guys are all over the place. You don't need to link arms. That's the selfishness of Adam. Okay. Now, have we got this? They said, Don't you know? Here is where the sin is. Right? In Adam. Here is where the righteousness is. I say, shall we carry on sinning? And Paul says, in the Phillips version of the Bible, it says, what a ghastly thought. What a ghastly thought. You can't carry on sinning. You're in the fellowship of Jesus. You're in a totally new place. You can't carry on sinning. Don't you understand this? You're in Christ now. And Paul has this very clear in his head. You're not now in Adam. You're in Christ. It's a whole new fellowship and a whole new lifestyle and a whole new atmosphere. There it's lawless misbehavior. Yes. Here, it's a new life in Christ because you have identified with the risen Lord Jesus and he's living in you. So everything's new. Any man in Christ is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Okay? Turn to your neighbor and say, it's much better in Christ than in Adam. Okay. And, okay, we got that. Okay. Some of you didn't seem too sure. Listen, if you put your trust in Christ, and baptism is the external sign of it. Anybody here who hasn't been baptized but who's put their trust in Christ needs to get baptized. Right? Because this is the passing point. This is where you demonstrate whose you are. You're Christ and you belong to him. Can we carry on sinning? No, we don't live there anymore. We live here. We live here in a place of grace. We've received the grace of God. Isn't that good? And this is where we live, in a place of grace and forgiveness and in a place of he says, don't you know? There's some things that we can know. There's no shadow of doubt. You know, some people try and shuffle in. Come with me. Some people think you can shuffle into, you know, into Christ. If I'm good enough and if I'm... You can't shuffle in. The only way in is death. All right, thank you. You can move back. No, you can't shuffle in. Sorry, I know you wanted to join the redeemed. But you can't shuffle your way in. It's very, very clear. Right? You make a choice. You want to be with Christ and you want to be like Christ. And you die to self, as the song said. You die to self and you're raised with Christ to be in the fellowship of Jesus. Don't you know that? He says, don't you know that you've been raised to live a new life? That's what you were raised for. Do you know that? Because sometimes you think a little bit the old way. Right? But you've been raised to live a new life and to live with Christ and to live to God. So don't you know? You're part of a new people. And actually, you have already inherited now your future life. This is one of the funny things in the Bible. Do you remember that verse that says, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light? What it really means is the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. It's prophesying about the future, about the coming of the Messiah. But because anything God intends is as good as done now, the prophets often put it in the past tense. And they said, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. It means they will, but it's so definite, it's as good as done. Isn't that interesting? And you people have received life because the future has sort of come forward into your life now and eternal life has burst upon you. You're the people of the future. Now, hey, isn't that good? Right, so you're not stuck in the past with them. You're not stuck in your sin with them. You're now connected to the future and righteousness, peace and joy and all those other things. That's where you're connected. They're still connected to the earth. Right? But you're connected to heaven now. You've been raised to live a new life. And if you're in Christ, you've been raised to live a new life as well. And to live for God. Okay, so... Well, now, here's the question, then. If we're in a totally different place, because this is Paul's picture, you're either in Adam... I'm not supposed to yawn while I'm talking, Zoe. You're yawning while I was talking.
We had 3 hours sleep today.
Oh, well, you're off, then. All right, you're forgiven.
Thank you.
It won't work, because she's in Adam. Yeah. Yep. Yep. Yeah, okay, all right. Paul's clear, you're either in Adam or you're in Christ. It's one or it's the other. Okay, you can't drift between the two. You can't one day feel like a good Christian and the next day not be. You either are or you're not. Right, he says, don't you know, this is what's happened to you. You've made your choice and you've got baptized and you're identified with Christ and this is where you live. Now, from the youngest to the oldest, I want to say this very clearly. This is what's on offer. To be sure and clear that we're living in Christ. So, there is a little question that follows from this. Because if you look at them, these two groups do look slightly similar. And in a sort of way. And the question is, so how do we stop sinning? Because I'm telling you what is spiritually true. You're in Christ. The question is, so how do you stop sinning? Okay, I want to give you three answers that the Bible gives. Because this is very important. Because sometimes we feel like, well, I don't feel like a Christian. Because I don't respond terribly well. And I shouted at the wife today. Well, I can't have done that because she's back home in Oxford. But anyway, here we go. So here's the answer that's given. Okay, it's in verse 11. In the same way, count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Now, the first thing that has to happen is a change of mindset. Okay, we have to change the way that we think. Okay, so those in Adam think it doesn't really matter if I sin or not. Everybody does. It's not very important. We have all sorts of things that go off in our heads. And what Paul says is the first thing that needs to change is the way that you think. And the first thing is sin doesn't belong here. Right? This is God's kingdom. I'm in Christ. I'm made for righteousness. And we've got to start thinking like Christians. And the trouble is when we come from here, we think like non-Christians. The first thing that has to change is we've got to start thinking like Christians and say, so I'm in Christ. I don't need to sin like I used to. Now, this is a change of mind. My brothers and sisters, it starts in your head. Okay, but there's a way of going about this because Paul says here, he says, count yourselves dead to sin, and alive in Christ. Okay, now that word counting is our word counting. It comes from the world of accountancy. It comes reckon. You have to do some reckoning, do some thinking. And day by day, we need to do some thinking. Right, so we get up in the morning, we draw the curtains, it's pouring down with rain, and we say, hallelujah, I'm in Christ. We don't say, oh, what a dreadful day. Right. We've got to start thinking like Christians. So our waking thought is, good morning, Jesus. I'm in you this morning. My day's in you this morning. I'm going to live for you this morning. I have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness and from being in Adam to being in Christ. I'm yours. Ha ha. And I'm going to live like a Christian today. Now, obviously, I'm not talking about doing this in our own strength, but we have to start by remembering who we are and doing a little bit of reckoning up here because we quickly think ourselves back into the old thoughts and the old ways, don't we? Right. So it says, count yourselves. Reckon, do a little bit of reckoning in the morning. This morning, I'm dead to sin, and I'm alive to Christ. Right, now that tells us something too. We're alive for a relationship. As soon as we wake up in the morning, and even if you're more of a night person than a morning person, who here is more of a night person than a morning person? Yep, that's fair enough, okay. Well, even if you're a night person rather than a morning person, you need to do this in the morning. It's too late doing it at night. Because you've missed it through the day. And you've been thinking like one of these Adamic people. Right. You've been thinking like one of them through the day, and then you suddenly put on your holy head at night and read your Bible and say, I'm better at night. But you've missed it through the day. You've got to start in the morning. Right. It doesn't have to be 3 hours in the morning. You understand what I mean? But we get up and we say, Or you can do it before you get up if you want to. Yeah. It's a good place to start before you get out of bed. Lord, I'm in Christ. I'm dead to sin. I'm in Christ today. I'm your person. I'm living for you. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to speak for you. I'm going to speak wholesome thoughts because I'm in Christ. Okay. Reckon yourselves. And there's a little process. And what we do is we allow doubts in and anxieties in and fears in. Right? And we've got to shut them out. Right? We've got to do a bit of a reckoning. Why am I thinking fearfully like a non-Christian? Now you do understand, don't you, that fear is a sin. Okay? It's a failure to trust in God's loving care of you. When you're here, your hand is held by your Heavenly Father. You live with your tiny hand in His big hand. Now, that's what it means to be in Christ. Therefore, whatever happens, God's right with you. He doesn't abandon you. He won't let you go. Right? He will provide for you. Maybe not in the way you wanted, right? But He will provide for you. So we shut those fearful, anxious thoughts out and say, I'm going to live like a Christian, like a child of yours. Yes?
Say it again.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So it's a change of thinking or a mindset. It's embracing what is true of me. It's embracing what is true of me. It's like somebody who comes from another nation and settles here. Right. Maybe they come from Africa. Okay. But they come over here. No, I don't. Are you a Canadian yet? Not yet. Still an African. You're what? Okay, all right. Well, it doesn't work for him. Okay, might work for some others. Okay. So you come over here, right? You think a little bit like an African. Turn up late to meetings. Because Africans turn up late. They have more time than we do. They have more time. They're not bound to the clock like we are. When they bump into somebody they want to talk to them, they talk to them because relationships are more important than time. Is that right? My African friends say to me, you have the watches, we have the time. That's the way it works. Okay. So they think and act just a little bit like an African, but at a certain point, maybe they get naturalized. Sometimes they still feel a bit African, but they look at their passport, and their passport says, Canadian citizen. Yes? Right. These people have got a passport into Christ, and it's stamped on them. Citizen of heaven. Okay. And they look at their... They can't believe it, really. That they've been accepted into this fellowship in Christ and now they're citizens of heaven. But the book says so. They've got to start thinking like citizens of heaven. Reckon yourselves. Okay? All right, so we've got a change of thinking. And the second thing it says is this. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin. That's something you've got to think. And then he says, don't let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Don't. Now. So we've got to think differently. And then we've got to take responsibility for ourselves. Are you getting tired there? Oh, I see. Well, you could sit down if you want to, if you're a little weary. Yeah, we could let you sit in Christ. don't know what you guys are going to do, but anyway. It's terrible, isn't it? Standing up for a few minutes and they're weary. I thought this was a youth meeting. Anyway. Second thing is, don't let sin reign in your body. So you've got to think differently, and then you've got to take responsibility for yourself. You don't blame sin on the devil, because he made me do it. You don't excuse it because everybody does a bit of that. And we'll only be perfect when we get to heaven. Right? You don't let yourself off the hook. Right? You take responsibility for yourself. Right, say, I'm going to deal with this. Right? I'm not going to live with this. I'm going to deal with this. You don't live with sin as though it was a friend. You fight it as though it was an enemy. Because it is. Because it will ruin your life in Christ. So you're going to deal with it. You're going to be ruthless. You take responsibility. That's what the book says. Okay, Paul says, how do you stop sinning? Now you're in Christ? Well, think different thoughts and take responsibility. Deal with yourself. Don't let sin rule. You have a new master. You have a new master. Now you serve him with all of your heart. Here I am, Jesus. I'm part of the fellowship of Jesus. I am going to live for you wholeheartedly, fully, completely. Now, unfortunately, we haven't got to the Holy Spirit bit yet. We get there in chapter 8. So it's a slight problem, but basically what Paul says is the great thing is this. The great thing is here, sin rules. Here, the Spirit rules. The power for you to live in Christ is in the Holy Spirit. In God's gift. You don't have to fight all this on your own. Because if you want to live the life of Christ, you can't do it. You probably already discovered that. Is that right? Yeah. We can't do it. We can't live this life on our own. So, the thing that rules here is the Holy Spirit. And you know, Jesus came to do two vitally important things for all of us. First, to die on the cross and deliver us from sin. And second, to give us a whole new power and strength to live by the Holy Spirit. And some people have the first bit clear, but have missed the second. The Holy Spirit is not just a way of enjoying yourself a little bit better in the Christian life. The Holy Spirit is a vital necessity to empower us to live in Christ. The sort of life that honors him, because we can't do it on our own. That's why you lot need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and then filled with the Holy Spirit, immersed in the Holy Spirit, because that's what baptism means. Over and over and over and over and over and over again. And you know what? I've been walking with the Lord 40 years or more. Actually, more. 50 years. I'm finding that I need more, not less, of the Holy Spirit now than ever. It's more important. The power of living here is in the Holy Spirit. He's actually given us everything we need to live here. But this is the remarkable thing. I mean, talk about grace and God's goodness and God's generosity. He's given us everything. He himself has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness, and he's transferred us into the kingdom of his Son. And he's died for us and forgiven us and raised us to new life with him. He's done all that. And then he pours out his Holy Spirit to help us to do the stuff. It's all him from beginning to end. He's done it and he keeps doing it. This is remarkable, isn't it? It's all of God. He's done it all. And he'll do it all. And if we want to live in Christ, we have to say, Holy Spirit, oh, 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 more, more, more. I love that word, baptism. It's not a religious word originally. It comes from the cloth dyeing industry. Has anybody here ever done any dyeing of t-shirts or... Yeah, you get your pot of dye, you stick it in a pan on the hob, and you stick your garment in it and soak it around a bit, and then you pull it up, and it's all patchy. Well, some people do it deliberately that way, don't they? I mean, it's all patchy, you know, tie dyeing or whatever they call it. Yeah, but if you really want it to be, you know, it's all patchy, and so you put it back in and shovel it round again, and still a bit patchy, put it back in, shovel. That's what it is to be filled with the Holy Spirit and filled with the Holy Spirit and filled with the Holy Spirit, because actually it's a bit patchy, this life of Christ in us. Is that true? I'm talking to you, Aidan. It's a bit patchy, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Yes. That's why you need to go on being filled with the Holy Spirit. Because that's the power to live life here. That's the power that will help us to be righteous and good and joyful and fearless and courageous. It's His power in us. I simply want to say tonight, if you don't know that you're here in Christ, you can tonight. Whether you're 5 or 55, tonight you can know. And it doesn't depend on your feelings. It depends on your saying, Lord, I want to make a choice tonight to be yours. And for your death to cover all my sin, and for your life to come into me so that I can live for you. You can know it tonight. Don't you know? If you don't know, you can know it tonight. I want to invite you, if you don't know, come and talk to one of us afterwards and say, you know what, I don't really know, but I'd like to know. And you can know tonight, if that's your case. And tonight, if you know that you're really living a bit more there than here, and you want to live a full-blown life with God here, you need to start thinking new thoughts. And you know that all this is very, very weak and wishy-washy in your life. Tonight, God wants to move you right here and fill you with His Holy Spirit again. Wherever you've been, it doesn't matter. It's here that God wants you to be. Right here. Fully in Christ, knowing you're in Christ. Thinking different thoughts. I'm in Christ. I'm going to live for Him. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to live for you. And some people sort of try and live somewhere between the two. That's a very unstable existence. Actually, it's not possible. You either live here or you live here. Shall we go on sinning? What a ghastly thought, Paul says. Don't you know that if you're in Christ, you're right here? So, consider yourselves dead to sin. Totally in... Think about somebody who's dead. Our dead man got raised to life. Lie down here. Okay. Thank you, David. Okay. The thing about a corpse is... He don't feel anything. He's not shouting. They're insensitive. They don't feel temptation. Because they're dead. They're dead. You say, I want to be dead to sin. I want Christ to live in me. And tonight, thank you, David. You have been a really excellent stooge. Thank you. Okay. And we'd simply like to offer to pray with people tonight. If God's spoken to you tonight through the simplicity of what I've said, because it has been simple, but you see, this stuff is not complicated. It is quite simple. And the way we've portrayed it, if God's shown you something tonight and you're not where you should be with him, why don't you come and let somebody pray for you? Yeah. Who's leading this meeting? Dom, I think you're leading this meeting. What do you want to do now? Because we'd like to offer to pray for people, but do you want to do some worship? Do you want to go back into worship? Want to lift our hearts to the Lord while we pray for people? You're in charge, really, so... He chickened out.
He's done a good job tonight. That's an excellent example. And, you know, when God brings people from the outside, receive. I just want to encourage you now. We're going to just open it up. And Steve has invited us to receive prayer. So something in tonight's message, if you're here and you're saying, actually, I want to live in Christ, and I'm not living in Christ. And it might be that you actually have never given your life to his lordship, and you still are over here. Or it might be that you gave yourself to his lordship, but you haven't reckoned yourself, counted yourself dead to sin, and so you've continued to try to live in the middle. And if that's you, whatever part of that journey is yours, come forward and let Steve pray with you, Ron pray with you, Mary pray with you, but come and be prayed for tonight and verbally say, I'm declaring I want to be in this kingdom. Okay? Let's do that tonight. And it would be nice if the worship team, if a couple of you could come and play and lead us in some singing while others are being prayed for. Okay? Worship team, you want to come first? Unless you want to be prayed for?
We could pray for them first and then they can lead us.
Yes. And the Lord
has compassion on all that he has made. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he has removed our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west, well, that's how far he has removed our transgressions from us. Praise the Lord, oh my soul, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the gracious. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. Transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west, well, that's how far